And it makes me just so happy to sit up here with you and see you again. And I said to Ari that he was looking quite good for, you know, considering that we're aging. And he said, oh, young at heart, young at heart. So so let me tell you a bit about him. But before I do, I have one more question to ask. How many of you this evening are new to Spirit Rock, have not come before? Welcome, virgins. It's great to have people who are... And how many are relatively new to meditation and Buddhist practice? Also, good. We know that the way the world is currently, and the kind of dilemmas that we face of continuing warfare and continuing environmental destruction, global warming, continuing racism and conflict between people, that the solutions for our human problems are not and cannot solely be external, that we can't just solve them with biotechnology and more internet and computers and more other technological developments. That won't stop war, that won't stop racism, it won't stop the destruction of environment or the mistreatment and injustice in the ways that we live with one another. What's required of us at this time in this age is a profound change of consciousness to match the external development that we have. And everybody knows this in some way. One of the things that is beautiful about Dr. Ari, and I'm really speaking about his work as I say this, is that he's been a visionary for more than half a century. He's probably the most successful community organizer in Asia that I know of. He's had all kinds of awards. He started the Sarvodaya movement of empowerment of people with Dharma principles in Sri Lanka years ago, and as a result, it has grown to encompass 40% of the villages in his country. And he's worked in places all around the world. And I want to tie his visit to a series of teachings that we've been doing this fall for those who've come earlier in the past month or two, which is the teachings of the paramitas, or the inner perfections of heart, or you might call them the qualities of our own Buddha nature. And in some way, they grow and mature and develop as we undertake a spiritual path, generosity and patience and compassion and dedication and so forth. And in other ways, they're really uncovered. They are our true nature, but we get lost in the sense of separateness, the small sense of self, the body of fear, and so we lose touch with this innate capacity for generosity and connection and compassion. So the paramita, or the quality of Buddha nature that we spoke of, generosity, when Ari first went to begin his teaching 50 years ago, or maybe more, I don't know, He was, I believe, a science teacher in one of the premier schools in Sri Lanka. You know, something like Marin Academy or whatever, where the elites of the country sent their children. And he took a group of the students out to the poorest village, partly to let them know what it was like in those parts of their very own country. But he did it with a much deeper understanding and intention. It wasn't to get them to go and help the poor villagers. One of the things that he asked the villagers to do was to feed well these people who came. And so the poorest village put on a great feast and banquet for the children of the richest people in the country. And what he began to teach people from the very beginning is that everyone has something to offer in this world. And that's the only way that we grow, really, is to know that interconnection. And to feel that we are a part of this stream of offering. This poem from Alison Luderman, in Oakland, a friend, she writes, "Consider the generosity of the one-year-old who has no words to exchange with you and instead offers up her favorite drooled-on blanket, her green dinosaur as big as she is, her cloth doll with the long pigtails. And if you were outdoors, she would hand you a dead beetle or a fistful of grass, a pebble, by way of introduction or just because. And if a moment later she wanted it back, it would be for the joy of exchange that makes every simple object a sacred offering. In the same way, sun drapes a buttered scarf across your face, rose opens herself to your glance, and rain shares its divine melancholy. The whole world keeps whispering or shouting to you, nibbling your ear like a neglected lover." And the spirit of generosity is sensing the what the world feeds us and what we feed the world, that this, the beauty of this exchange that awakens in us and is central to the dana of Ari's work. And then there's the paramita of virtue that we talked about, which is really the paramita of integrity. Long ago, an interview was done by a friend of mine with Ari in this book, The Footsteps of Gandhi. Soon after the self-help organization in Sri Lanka had become a nationwide movement, Ari Ratana learned of an assassination plot on his life. The notorious Choppi, I hope I say his name right, a powerful lord of the underworld, you definitely want to say his name right, based in the capital city, had been hired to kill Ari as a grassroots leader, and the plan was to be carried out at a Buddhist temple where Ari would be speaking. Ari heard of the plan just before it was to happen, and the evening before, in the dead of night, he went to Choppi's house and stood before the man who was known as the killer and said, "Choppi, I am Ari Ratana, who you are planning to kill tomorrow." The gangster was surprised. "Please do not desecrate the sacred Buddhist seat of learning with the blood of a beggar like me. If you are to kill me here instantly." And the killer looked into the eyes of this teacher and activist who organized the poor throughout the country and said, "I cannot do so," and offered him food. And from that moment on, he became an admirer and supporter of the movement, referring to Ari as our sir. So what does it mean to really stay true to what you know in your heart? This is what virtue is. It is the knowing that we have. William Faulkner says, "Some things you must always be unable to bear. Some things you must never stop refusing to bear. Injustice and outrage and dishonor and shame. No matter how young you are, how old you are, not for fame, not for cash, your picture in the paper, nor money in the bank, neither, just refuse to bear them." And so he carries that spirit of the paramita that we all have, of knowing what is right within our hearts, of a kind of, a better word even than conscience, of a kind of deep and loving knowing of what's right in the world. And this is another expression of the paramitas that runs through his work. And patience. I got to tell the Dalai Lama a story a couple of months ago, Ari, about you, because I was giving a teaching when he was making awards for 50 unsung heroes of compassion. So I got to give him a Dharma talk as well, which is kind of fun to teach the Dalai Lama. You know, you do what you can. And the story I really wanted to tell was that Sri Lanka, which has been in this terrible civil war for 30 years, that's just ended this year, about 5 years ago, the Norwegians brokered a peace treaty for the Sri Lankans that later fell apart. But after this peace treaty was brokered, Ari called the followers of his Sarvodaya movement together, and stood up at Anuradhapura in front of 650,000 people, if you can imagine, and said, "In the Buddhist tradition, that the Buddha teaches us that the foolish look at the results and the wise look at the causes and conditions. So if we look at the causes and conditions of our civil war, we can see that it's taken 500 years to get into this dilemma. 400 years of British colonial oppression, 500 years of conflict between Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus, 200 years of economic disparity between the rich and poor parts of our island. So it will take us 500 years to get out of it. And I offer you the Sarvodaya 500-year peace plan, which is 5 years of a ceasefire and 10 years of rebuilding roads and schools and 25 years of learning each other's languages and religions and 50 years of the rich and poor parts helping each other. And after 100 years, we'll have a council and see how we're doing. And then we'll do it four more times. And maybe after that, we'll get to have the island of peace that we know we can be. And I heard that, and I almost wept, because it was the voice of an elder, of someone who wasn't worried about the next election cycle and the polls and, you know, what's going to happen, but the vision of what's possible for us as human beings. And this, if you will, is the paramita of patience. It's not really patience, because patience is like impatient. When are we going to get it? It's constancy. It's the heart that says, I turn in the direction of this that I know is true and beautiful, and will simply walk that way however long it takes. And Dalai Lama was sitting there grinning and smiling when he heard this story, because he has the same problem in Tibet, of course, as you know. And so it was a way of kind of buoying his spirit as well. And then there's truthfulness, the paramita of truthfulness. And much of Ari's teaching is really the teaching of interdependence. He has helped through his movement to build schools, dig wells, build roads in 10,000 villages, 15,000 villages. And he says, we don't do it to build schools and build roads and dig wells. That's not the point. The point is that the schools and roads that are built together and the wells that are dug teach people to love one another. Teach them that they are connected with one another and empower them. And we were talking about the war. He said, we thought when the war ended this year, the military would go down in number, but now the military's added more troops. You know how it is. We live in a warlike nation. We know all about it, really, don't we? You know, you thought in the Cold War the budget would go down. I mean, when the Cold War ended, at the end of Russia, where's our enemy? We're kind of groping around for a new enemy. The budgets kept going up. And Ari said, we have to figure out a way to deal with our military with respect so that we can kind of, he couldn't find the right word, so that we can kind of help them to not be too military-like in what they're doing. Something, I don't remember the word that you said. But here's Dwight Eisenhower, our president and the great general of the Second World War. Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired signifies in the final sense a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, from those who are cold and not clothed. The world in weapons is not spending its money alone. It is spending the sweat of its laborers, the genius of its scientists, the hopes of its children. This is not a way of life at all in any true sense. Under the cloud of continuing war, it is humanity hanging from a cross of iron. And what Ari is willing to do is to speak the truth, and has, and to empower people to do so for decades and decades. And then his dedication, you know, and it's really very, very simple. There are these 300,000 people in refugee camps now. Oh, we have to get cots because, I forget, you said every week or every month there are 400 newborn children?
Yeah, born in the hospitals.
In the hospitals of the camp. We have to take care of these new human beings who are coming in. So this is one of our work that we do. You say you waited 2 years for the government to clean up the canal outside your village. You keep on waiting and your fields bake and the water doesn't get to them. But where is your power? You won't find it sitting around till the government does it for you. The power is not in the capital. It is in you, in your head, and your hands. And so people meditate together and they work together and they serve together, and they do it as an expression of the truth of interdependence. And out of it comes wisdom and loving kindness and equanimity and a kind of renunciation. The renunciation, the real renunciation, is a renunciation of this separateness of mine versus yours, and the opening of the wisdom eye in the heart to say, it's family, you know. The problem is we draw the circle of our family too small. And we interbreathe with the Amazon rainforest and live together with the thousand species of beetles and ants and worms and eagles and humans of every kind. And to awaken your own Buddha nature, the great heart of compassion that is in you and the capacity for freedom and connection, is the gift of spiritual life. Not to become a Buddhist, spare you, you know, but to become a Buddha, to live that. And this is really Ari's gift. So I will leave you in a minute. One more announcement to make. All of the money that we collect tonight, the parking and what you paid to come in, and the great amounts of money that you're going to put in the basket as you leave, thank you, will go to support Sarvodaya and his projects. You know, and a dollar feeds a family for a day, you know, and $20 makes a little bed for an infant. And after the tsunami and the civil war and so forth, the most effective community organizing in Asia that I know of is the work that Ari does. So it's a really beautiful thing, and it's an honor both to have you here and to have Walter here as well. Ari will teach some meditation and offer some teachings on the Paramita. It's an honor somehow to be part of your family, Ari. So I thank you. Walter, come up, please. And thank you. Thank you, everybody, so much.
Good evening, everybody. It's wonderful to be here in this great hall. We will now go on with a meditation that Ari will lead, and then he'll make